Let's talk about some of the Oklahoma people that you wrote about. Former Governor Henry Bellmen, he was governor, and then he was senator, and then he was governor. Governor in 63 to 67, then he was senator, then he was governor from 87 to 91. Yes. Remember any stories you may have written about?
Yeah, I was mentioned that I was the temporary State House correspondent in my days at Oklahoma City, and that was after Henry Bellmen had been elected to his first term. That's where we got well acquainted. I knew him from earlier days when he was state chairman and I worked in Tulsa. But we got well acquainted because I covered his office every day. I came to see him very early on as a straight shooter who was going to do great things. He had a lot of characteristics, one of which was that he was a very practical-minded man and had no time for frivolities or anything like that. The other thing about him, he was a man who learned from his own experience. He told me one time that one of the great things he got out of World War II, after fighting in Iwo Jima and Okinawa, seeing all of that, that one of the things he learned in World War II was that the Japanese were just human beings and children of God like everybody else. That was quite a thought. I mean, this is an intelligent man who makes this observation. And then the other thing was he was an odd duck in modern-day politics in that he was an inner-directed man who went by his own instincts of right or wrong and what he thought. Somehow he was able to do that and still function as a very smart politician. That's something else. He cast a couple of votes in Washington that really got him in a lot of trouble. One of them was on a phony anti-busing amendment. A lot of Democrats caved in and voted for outlaw busing and segregation. Well, it was phony because you couldn't do it anyway. They didn't have the power to do that. The Supreme Court had already ruled that you could use buses to integrate schools. And he said, well, I'm just not going to vote for something that's useless like that. And that seemed to hurt him. But later on, when he ran against Ed Edmondson, I dug up figures that I think showed that he cut into the Democratic margins in black precincts enough to win that election when he was reelected to the Senate. The other one was when he voted for the Panama Canal Treaty. He was savage for that, called a communist and everything else.
Tell us what that was about, that treaty.
Well, the treaty restored the canal to the sovereignty and the jurisdiction of the government of Panama. And we effectively gave up all claim to sovereignty over any of their territory or over the canal itself. But then it had contractual arrangements for our use of it and our help in managing it and privileges for our shipping and everything. It worked very well, but it was considered to be, well, we're just giving away something that's ours and that sort of stuff. Well, you know the history of the Panama Canal. We took it almost by force, and it was located in the middle of another country. I called him the day of the vote, and I said, you know, I just wanted you to get a call from somebody that's not mad at you. He said, well, I don't care if anybody's mad at me. And then he got mad at me. He says, you think I care? He said, look, I have talked to people at the Pentagon and the intelligence, the military, and everybody who knows anything about this, and I'm telling you this is the right thing to do. And that was it. That's the kind of guy he was.
I interviewed him for VoicesOfOklahoma.com. He resented the fact that President Carter tried to lobby him on that and invited him to the White House. He rejected all that. That didn't sit well with him, I remember him saying.
I don't remember talking to him about Carter's role in it, but it tells you something, given that, and the fact that Carter wasn't his kind of a politician anyway, that he still voted for that against the wishes of people in his own party and the president, the Democrat, and everything else, because he came to the conclusion that it was the right thing to do. A few years later, a dictator and a dope dealer took control of Panama, and we had to deal with him for a while, and then First President Bush sent troops down there to arrest him. The operation was a big success. The man was removed and taken out of there and tried for criminal conduct. Panama got a respectable government in there, and we've had normal relations and full use of the canal ever since. I don't think any of that would have happened if we had tried to hang on to the canal and claim sovereignty to it.
I remember he talked about how poorly the Daily Oklahoman treated him. So they were editorializing against that.
Right.
the Tulsa World, you were supporting him in your editorials?
I think we did, and I know after the fact we did, and I did.
Then in the area of education, as he was governor, we had House Bill 1017, which called for a 27% increase in funding of common schools, as well as compulsory kindergarten, smaller classes, teacher incentive pay, and teacher tenure reform. That was a huge issue in our state legislature, and you wrote about that.
Yeah.
What was it you were writing about, and were you supporting?
Yes, we were for it and backed him in that 100% because we had gotten to the point where we'd been before, and it was getting worse. We were 47th, I believe, in public support of education. During his first term, the teachers came within an ace of going on strike because he wasn't able to find the kind of money that they thought they needed. And he kind of fell out with the teachers at that time. Then he came back in his second term years later. And he decided it's time to do something about school funding to try to get Oklahoma, if not up to the regional average, at least get it out of the backwoods, you know. This thing was worked out over a period of time. He had appointed a commission to do some planning. And then he got it through the legislature. And again, he took a lot of heat from the Daily Oklahoman, but also from members of his own party. Finally, the Republicans got a petition drive because it didn't have the emergency clause on it and didn't go into effect immediately. You know how that works. And wound up having a state vote on whether to repeal it or not. Well, it would have been a disaster to repeal it. And I wrote several editorials, columns, everything I could think of about that. I described it as sort of an Armageddon as far as education is concerned.
That was in 1990. Education Reform and Funding Act of 1990, and became known as House Bill 1017. In fact, there were Republicans from the Tulsa area that were very much opposed to this. Senator Charles Ford was one of those.
Yeah.
So here is Henry Bellman fighting, as you've already said, his own party.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a stand. There's another thing he did. A lot of people talk about being fiscally conservative. He's the original fiscal conservative. He believed in paying for anything that the government was going to do. If it was worth doing, it was worth raising the taxes to do it. And if he didn't want to pay for it, then it wouldn't be worth doing. That was his view on things, and he made it stick.